Coming up on show 927, Tesla owners rejoice as the company finally fixes a long-standing issue. Plus today, the Ford Mustang Mach-E will share a platform with other Ford EVs. BMW's iNext is spied just a day before its debut, and Tesla expands in Shanghai. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you are in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily. My name is Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story, so you haven't got her. Well, thank you, as always, to MyEV.com. They help me make the show. They are the first marketplace anywhere, specifically built around electric vehicles and only cars with a plug socket as well. So, you know, if you've been looking for a car, maybe it's been a faff so far for you, and there's options in the menu to choose by engine size, by CC, or, you know, fuel type, petrol or diesel. Not on MyEV.com. If you're in the US, check it out. Totally free marketplace that's all about bringing people together who want to buy and sell EVs. Well, what a day on the Nürburgring, said Nico Rosberg. Nico Rosberg drove the Porsche Taycan in the wet. He did a hot lap and he went racing with the German car legend Matthias Malmedy in the Porsche Taycan Turbo S. It's my recommended video for today. I'll pop a link to YouTube in the show notes. And here's a clip of Nico Rosberg, Formula One world champion, talking about how much he enjoyed his track time with the Taycan.
What's awesome is, you know, this car weighs more than 2 tons because of the batteries, but you really almost cannot feel it, and that's very, very special that Porsche managed to make a handling of the car where you almost can't feel that weight even on a track. So in normal life, when you're driving, you certainly will not be able to feel that weight. So that's really hats off to Porsche for managing to achieve that. Then, of course, I mean, the acceleration out of corners, always good. E-mobility, you know that. Acceleration off the start as well, beautiful. Even in the wet, lots of grip. It's four-wheel drive, perfect traction control. So it's really, really well done. Then it's very safe because it will not allow you to spin. Huh? Even if you go in sideways, it's always going to, with the torque vectoring, like on each tire, it's always going to put you straight again. So if you start to oversteer, it's going to put the handbrake on the right-hand side of the car to pull the car back straight. And it's doing a lot of that around the lap, so it's very impressive. Of course, as a driver, you'd prefer not to have that, but then it's high risk. So that's very impressive what they've done that.
All right, moving on. Ford Mustang's Mach-E platform will be used for other EVs. An additional electrified vehicle that will share a similar platform as the Mustang Mach-E is planned for the Ford plant in Mexico. Now, not sure what that electric vehicle may be, where it's going to be sold, what it'll look like, and what the form factor will be. One benefit to modern EV architectures is all about the flat platform that sits underneath them, and you can put almost any type of body on top, says Autoblog. Ford says interest in the electric F-150, which is scheduled to go on sale in 2022, has been strong enough that it's going to be increasing production capacity by 50% from their original plans. That means another 200 permanent jobs on top of the 300 jobs previously promised on the F-150 line, although it's clear the F-150 is not the car we're talking about here. So something else appearing on the Mustang Mach-E platform. And I don't think it'll be in Europe either, because we know that in Europe, Ford are licensing VW's MEB platform. So I would presume this is US, Asia, rest of the world idea, and it's something that'll make more of the investment that Ford have made in the platform that the Mach-E sits on. Let's talk about the Transit commercial vehicle. Ford will invest $100 million and hire 150 workers to build electric versions of the Transit commercial van. Scheduled to go on sale in late 2021, the electric Transit would prove an attractive proposition for any companies that specialise in delivery services, particular, but also, you know, work vans that need to carry tools and goods. The Transit is a very popular vehicle here, at least, and finally going fully electric. That's great news. CNET says that Ford will release details of the upcoming all-electric e-Transit, the commercial van, later in the week. So tomorrow we have got the BMW iNext. That's on the 11th. And on the 12th, we have the Transit Electric as well. These announcements coming thick and fast. They will also be talking about how the e-Transit will be rolling down the line of their assembly plant in Kansas City, Missouri, alongside the F-150. I'll pop links to Autoblog and CNET in the show notes for you to read more. Okay, coming up, we will talk about that new BMW iNext and also their first 9 months' worth of BMW EV brand sales in a moment. But first of all, Electrify America announced it's opened more than 500 electric vehicle charging stations across the US. That surpasses a significant milestone in the company's expansion plans, with more than 2,200 individual DC fast chargers nationwide. Electrify America is delivering, they say, on their commitment to make EV ownership more convenient. Giovanni Palazzo is the president and chief executive officer of Electrify America. Had this to say today, and I quote, Electrify America is raising the bar when it comes to the high-speed charging experience needed to expedite the transition to an electric future. In just over 2 years, we've made great progress in expanding our network while maintaining a deliberate focus on delivering the fastest charging speed possible, 150 and 350 kilowatts. We are confident that reduced charging times and increased charger availability will help Electrify America and the industry as a whole deliver the future-proof charging experience that customers deserve, end quote. If you've been on the receiving end of some poor Electrify America, let's say reliability, I'll be kind and say that, then you may not agree with everything that he's said there. In fact, Electrify America, even after a couple of years of being operational, already replacing early hardware they installed with more reliable hardware, which you have to applaud them for, to recognise the problems early, to know that the hardware they bought isn't up to the job, that customers are having issues charging and doing the hard yards of replacing them. We certainly have one particular network here in the UK that has been around a very long time and is struggling. I'll be careful what I say, because they spent lots of money early on and did a huge service to the EV community, but now some of that hardware is desperately in need of a replacement, and I don't see that happening very quickly. Maybe it's a topic for further conversation for my UK listeners. And one final note on this Electrify America story, along with the announcement of the milestone today, Electrify America has also announced that it will install solar-powered canopies to select locations to protect cars from the elements while delivering solar power, says this Electrek story that I picked up today. Furthermore, the charging network is installing Tesla's very own power packs at their charging stations. Now, back in September, the power packs were in around 60 of the Electrify America charging stations, and now the company expects the number to be 125 Tesla power packs by the end of next year at Electrify America charging stations. For newcomers to the podcast or those that haven't thought about it before, why would you want a power pack, a big battery at a charging station? Well, you need to, for want of a better phrase, dump a lot of power very quickly into your EV when you charge it, either, like I said, 150 or 350 kilowatts of power. You only need to have two or three cars charging at the highest speeds, and you can very quickly get towards a megawatt of power. Now, that is a very expensive grid connection in order to connect it to the mainframe, if you like, of the electricity grid. And also, some of those electricity costs when the electricity is at its most in demand can be more expensive if you have sort of real-time 15-minute or 30-minute grid pricing that you have to pay by. And so, if you can store energy, mainly at chargers, it's a way of you being able to serve those cars' electricity at the maximum speed possible and deliver that maximum current. And then, when those cars are finished and drive away, then you can trickle charge those, I say trickle charge, it's still very, very quick, those batteries from the grid without needing to put in such a massive grid connection. Those costs are enormous, by the way, once you start getting into the megawatts of power and connecting charging stations up to the grid. That's a big challenge, along with land acquisition, two of the biggest things as well. The hardware itself is all out there. And as you know, we should do a Saturday special podcast very soon with one of our sponsors, nationalcarcharging.com and alohacharge.com, because that's their area of expertise in the US, is the hardware. But so that's why you would put a battery at a charging station. Link to Electrek in the notes if you want to read more. Okay. Here's that BMW story that I told you about. The BMW iNext all-electric SUV will be the company's flagship when it arrives. Not only the company's top-tier EV, but also packing Level 3 semi-autonomous driving capabilities. And, you know, if it's true Level 3, that's deeply, deeply impressive, because, you know, for most part, what people think is autopilot. I'm on autopilot. That's just good Level 2 driver assistance. Level 3 is being able to navigate those situations that we've been talking about recently with Tesla's updated system. So that would be very impressive if BMW can get to Level 3 out of the six levels, from level 0 to level 5 of autonomy. We will get our first glimpse tomorrow when BMW will preview the design, but how much else we'll know is really unknown. Spy photos were released today, not hiding too much, actually, according to Motor One. Well, we'll see the iNext this week. Production will begin next year. We don't know when, though it could be a bit, considering that we're only seeing a design preview. We're not seeing the actual car tomorrow. It's a design preview, but they do say 600 kilometres of range. That's what, 376 miles. So the pictures I'm looking forward to seeing tomorrow, I really hope it has a covered up grill. Please, BMW, don't do the stupid grill thing that you're doing lately. Please cover it up. It's an EV. Much of the dash is draped in cloth, in black cloth, in these pictures that Motor One published, but we do see the widescreen, and it's a single. So BMW are opting for a single widescreen, spans about two-thirds of the dash from behind the steering wheel all the way along, almost to the passenger, and rather than going for that sort of split screen or floating screen that many are going for, this is a single piece of curved glass, like a big version of the Taycan, if you like. Now let's talk about BMW's plug-in electric car sales for the first 9 months of the year. The BMW i3 did 18,356 in the first 9 months of the year. That is down by almost half. They are winding down the i3 production now. That's had a glorious run since 2013. And it's still, it's still a space-age car. I love it. Also, the BMW e cars, they're the plug-in hybrids. 80,000 of those in the first 9 months of the year, up 47.5%. And the Mini, of course, owned by BMW. The Mini Electric, both the pure electric and the plug-in hybrid, the Countryman, 18,800. I think the lion's share of that is the full electric. I think about 16, I don't know. Wasn't it on the earnings call? They mentioned 16,000 happy Mini Electric owners around the world. Good number. But let's put that all into comparison to see what they could be doing. Well, last month in October, Tesla sold 12,000 vehicles in China, which is up from the previous month when they did 11,300. In addition, the factory in Shanghai also made another 7,000 Model 3s that were also shipped to Europe, demonstrating a big increase in production capacity. Giga Shanghai now makes around 800 vehicles a day. That's around 250,000 plus vehicles a year, according to Tasmanian. And now it seems that the Chinese factory in Shanghai is producing right-hand drive models of the Model 3 for left-hand drive markets. Now, the Twitter user Ray for Tesla has posted a picture. He reposts a lot of pictures, this Twitter account. Very useful. He seems to trawl Twitter very well and repost pictures on his own account, said that he saw six right-hand drive Model 3s have been seen in Hong Kong. Of course, driving on the left-hand side, a right-hand drive market. I wonder, as the cars are now coming from Shanghai to Europe, whether the UK's right-hand drive models will start to come from China. Now, there are a significant amount of cars coming into the country from the ships, which are coming from California still. So that's not changing for now, but it'll be interesting to keep an eye on that and see, you know, just out of curiosity where they're going to be coming from. By the way, a quick continued thanks for everybody who leaves comments on the YouTube show. It is just the audio, by the way. It's not me looking at the camera. But thank you very much to those that leave comments on the YouTube channel, the emails that come in as well. Thank you very much to those who kindly leave considered comments. I made the mistake a couple of days ago, or whenever it was, yesterday on the podcast, of talking about what the direction the US may take. Now, they have a new president-elect, and clearly a few Trump fans listen to this podcast and thought I overstepped the mark there, talking about politics on the podcast. And I don't know what to say to you. I don't want to make of it. Losing is tough. It's a situation that we watch from the UK with some bemusement. We must admit. So I'm sorry if I upset anybody earlier this week by simply holding a mirror, I guess, up to what the rest of the world can see. But there we go. Didn't mean to cause offence. I'm sure it'll all work itself out in the wash. Okay, let's talk about this lead story today. Tesla today has been notifying owners of older Model S and Model X vehicles that Tesla will now refund them for repairs if these owners had previously had to pay out of pocket to fix a problem with their main computer. The problem manifested as a blank touchscreen and other glitches in the system. And what it was related to a memory device, and the memory card was failing in the computer that stores data for the vehicle, says CNBC. Tesla said it will repair the Model S and Model X cars for owners who are currently experiencing any of those issues. They are expanding the warranty to some conditions, and the warranty expansion and offer to refund owners may help Tesla to avoid a mandatory recall and a settlement or even a drawn-out court battle. Now, the memory devices we're talking about, they are in the Tesla MCU. You know, in the S and the X, they have that huge screen in the middle of the car. Well, behind that sits a memory card, and that memory card has a limited read and write cycle. That means after they hit a certain number of write and erase cycles, they simply start to break down and don't work as well. Some of them don't work at all. Now, these cars have been fixed for years, I think it's safe to say. We've known about this problem. There are third-party solutions on the market. If you are a regular listener of the podcast, you'll know that I talk a lot about one of our sponsors, Richard at rsimons.co.uk. They're a big Tesla knowledge base here in the UK. Of course, they sell Teslas of all shapes and sizes, actually down here on the South Coast, but they'll, you know, ship them to anywhere in the UK if you want one, obviously. But they've even developed their own solutions over the years for this issue because they're so experienced with Teslas. People have come to them and said, look, I didn't buy my car from you, but my screen's gone blank. What do I do? And so they've helped people out. And of course, they're a great resource to turn to as well. And now Tesla themselves are acknowledging this and saying they will sort it and they will refund and make good anybody who has paid over the years out of pocket. And it's one of those things that I'll say I don't criticize Tesla too much because what they're doing is very impressive, but I do where I think it's warranted. And this is a situation that I've criticized them over the years on this show, and I like to give them credit where it's due. I think it took them a while to do the right thing, but they are doing the right thing. Whether you're cynic and say they're doing the right thing to avoid a mandatory recall, to avoid a big court case, to avoid any further attention, well, you make your own mind up, but I think they are making it right. Perhaps took them a little bit too long to make it right. And the final story today, let's talk about a company that I have a great affinity with because they're from the same part of the world that I'm from, in Norfolk in East Anglia. And the Geely brand that now own Lotus will rely on a purely electric powertrain instead of the original announced hybrid drive for their first ever electric SUV from Lotus. The luxury car has been developed under the internal codename of Lambda. It's launching in 2022, says Electrive. The reason for the change to the pure electric version is the company's affiliation with their owners, Geely Group. Well, premium pure electric SUVs are in big demand in China. Of course, Geely, a Chinese company. And they have a platform, which we talked about on the podcast recently in September. It's called the SEA, or C platform, and it's going to be suitable for electric cars just like this. Geely will build cars on this platform. They've got brands under their wing like obviously Lincoln Co. They're going to bring a big electric crossover with the 08. Volvo, one of their brands, will build a small electric SUV to go beneath the XC40. With the XC20, a Polestar production version of the concept car, the Precept, is being based on this platform. Geely is planning a new Chinese plant for Polestar as well. I'll say it again, get tired of saying it, watch what is coming out of China. If you are not paying a great deal of attention to what these Chinese companies are doing, sometimes under different brands that they own, but sometimes under their own Chinese-owned or Chinese-named brands, it's now the momentum is now really building up, and some of the technology is as good as you're going to find anywhere. Watch this space. And that's your podcast for today. Well, thank you once again to your continued feedback and also your continued support on Patreon. If you want to check out that, I invite you to have a look. It's how we fund the show. There are 926 previous shows available for free in the archive, evnewsdaily.com. That is, of course, paid for by our kind Patreon compatriots, Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Avid Technology, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, NationalCarCharging.com and AlohaCharge.com, Derek Riley at the EV Review Island YouTube channel, and Richard at rsimons.co.uk, the electric vehicle specialists. Have a wonderful day. All right, I'll catch you tomorrow. Oh, do remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.